morning. How y'all doing? I'm not doing too good, but I'm smiling. Turn this off. Well, it's been a week since we've been here, but a lot of things have happened in just a few days. People wait and wait and wait for something to happen, and then something happens and everything changes. And you go, wow, how about that? It's all different. But let's start in prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you. We can ask for your help by your Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you provide the comfort that we need. You provide the teaching that we need. You provide the wisdom that we need. You provide the understanding of the wisdom that we need. And you also provide the understanding and how to live in wisdom and how to apply wisdom to our life and how it all fits together, the understanding, so that we can show and teach others how wonderful you are, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, and we dedicate this class unto you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in our lives this very moment. We love you. Amen and amen. All right, praise the Lord. I'm going to pray that I can last for a whole hour. I haven't sat for a whole hour since Monday morning. So just a brief history real quick. Last week, first off, I live by a schedule. The Holy Spirit 5 years ago, next month will be 5 years, put this ministry on a calendar schedule. So every day of my week is scheduled based on what the Holy Ghost wants me to do. And I'm not just wondering what to do next. See, am I coming in all right? Microphone's on. I'm not wondering what to do next. I look at my calendar, what the Holy Ghost wants me to do on that day, and that's what I do. And I don't change it unless the Holy Spirit changes it for me. So I was scheduled last week to go to Fort Collins, Colorado on Monday morning and spend Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in Fort Collins, Colorado. That is the second quarter of the year I go to the northern gate of the state of Colorado. I'm called to minister in the state of Colorado. I don't travel to other cities, other countries, other parts of the world to preach and minister. I used to do that. I do not do that anymore. This is what the Lord has me doing currently. Will it change? Well, things change all the time. So not saying this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, but right now this is what the Spirit of God has me doing. So each quarter of the year, I go to the state line to pray and intercede in the gate that comes into from one state to this state, Colorado. So that's the northern part of Colorado, which is borders Wyoming, where I'm at. And the other part I'm not at yet, that's in Nebraska. I believe it's Nebraska. One day I'll be over there, but it's very difficult for me to get over to Fort Morgan, which is the sort of like the gateway coming out of Nebraska. All right. So I got there at 9 o'clock, 8:45. And by 9 o'clock, I had ripped out the back part of my back, the lower back. I felt an absolute tear. You could hear it, and not just hear it, but the moment I heard it, I felt it. And I fell to my knees just in intense pain and began shaking like crazy. And I shook for almost an hour. It was just absolutely the most intense thing I've ever experienced that I'm aware of. And I sat on the bench right under a tree. You can see I did a scripture short and a short 20-minute video and another hour-long video. And that hour and 20 minutes, I poured my life out. I poured my heart out. And according to YouTube, the average view time of an hour and 26-minute video that I caution people, do not watch this if you're easily offended. So what do most people do? Oh, wonder what it is. Click. I mean what I say. It's not clickbait, as they call it in YouTube land. It is really what it is. It's full. About 99% of the people all clicked off within the first 6 minutes. But it had it's like 230 some odd views, which is like, normal views is 30 to 50 views, and it gets 4 or 5 times more views, but it's really amazing. But I go through two parts of a minister's life. I talk to everyone as if you're a minister. That's what the Bible says. Train up people, train up, you know, anyways, I talk to people as ministers and not just as Christians, churchgoers, pew sitters. I want you to serve Christ, not just learn about Christ, but teach and preach and minister the Lord Jesus Christ. So sometimes to do that, you need to hang around somebody who is kind of putting that spirit into you or that whatever into you to go do the work of the ministry. And we know that. That's the Bible. It's in Ephesians. And so like I'm shaking right now, I am, but I'm going to do this class and we'll see if I can do it every day this week. I will not go out to preach. Anyways, I stayed in Fort Collins for the whole day. I could not move off that bench. And it was an hour, about a block walk to the bus station. And I didn't call anybody. I didn't ask for, oh, pray for me. I'm sick. I just go to God. And now I know a lot of people, and it's Bible, you can go and ask for prayer. I just have never done that. I have full, complete dependence on God. And but sometimes God will say, okay, John, but you need some extra help. And so I did have people come to me during that time. And since Monday, I've had a numerous amount of people come and help me. That has been spectacular. But it's because God moved them to help, which is wonderful. So like right now, I got home Monday night. And I don't, by a miracle of God, I guess, I don't know how I got from the bench a block and a half. I had to carry that big, heavy backpack, plus my heavy banner, my safety cones, and make my way from the bench. And I asked for help. I didn't do it on my own. I asked for help. And it's like two angels came and helped me because I didn't feel the weight of the pack or the weight of the banner. And I got to the bus stop where the bus is and the bus station in northern, the north central, up there in Fort Collins, where the buses all come in. And I was really concerned. There's no seating there. And I was going to sit on the grass and wait for the bus. And I said, Lord, I don't know if I get down. I won't be able to get back up, Lord. If I can get down, I won't be able to get back up. So, strange thing is, after this is my fifth time going there, the bus showed up 20 minutes early. I got to the bus stop 20 minutes early. He showed up 20 minutes early. And the moment I got there, he got there in the bus, opened the door. And I said, you're here early. He said, okay, if I get on, sure, come on. And I was able to get on the bus and sit on the bus rather than try to sit outside. It was just a miracle. But anyway, so I've been trying to heal and receive God's healing for the last week and couldn't go out to preach. I won't be able to go out to preach today. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm still at about pain level. When you go to the hospital, they ask you from 1 to 10, what's your pain level is what they ask you. And I'm right about 8.5 to 9. That's about where I'm at, 8.5 to 9. Probably closer to 8.5. I'm not a 7, I know that, but it's probably 8, 8.5. So if I don't watch it, I'll start crying with pain. But I'm not in any pain medication. I don't take that stuff. I did take some to go to sleep at night, but it's just a cream that goes in the back. All right. So enough of that. All right. So that's where I'm at. And so we're in class number 176. I'm going to sift this over here. 176. All right. So here is what we are today. And I've been filling this out as we go along. So 176 is our class number. We're Philippians chapter 2. But I want to do something a little different on this class. Let me put this here. And that is, how's everybody doing? I'm going to come to the comments here. Stephen Kemp. Oh, God bless you. Hey, there's Stephen Kemp. Jesus. Hallelujah. And here's Riley. God bless you, Riley. Hallelujah. God bless these guys. Yeah, praise. Thank you, Lord. Let me change out a couple things here. Plus, I think the back goes into some kind of little mini spasm of some sort. And then I kind of hyperventilate. It's kind of weird. The body is such a weird situation. I was hoping Tara would be on, but she's not on. We've been praying for Tara up there in United Kingdom, England. And actually, she lives in Cambridge, I believe. And she actually keep her in prayer. I was hoping she'd be here today in class, but I don't see her there. Normally she comes on first thing. But anyways, we'll keep Tara, T-A-R-A, Tara, in our prayers. The devil is having a great time in her life. We take authority over that devil in Jesus' name. All right. Let me change out a couple things here. I'm going to put on, are you saved? It's written in the word of truth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going across the bottom of the screen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. You know, I do this on this, not just to see if you're saved or not, because people typically are come here are already saved. But, you know, you want to know some of the Bible verses that I use or people use or what's in the word of God. And you want to see somebody who's always about winning the lost. He that winneth souls is wise. If you don't win souls, are you wise? Well, think about that for a moment. If you don't win souls, and how do you win souls? You sow the word of God, you water the word of God, and you pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll reap that. So there's three things: seed, water, and the Lord. Right? Those are the three elements that get people saved. And so in Proverbs 11 it says, he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. Right? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. We are likened to trees. The fruit on our tree, the fruit of the righteousness. This is Proverbs chapter, type that in there. Proverbs chapter 11. Think about it. Proverbs 11. Can I do that right? Nope. 11. Oh, I can't bend over. Proverbs 11:30. Yeah, there it is. Let me put it on the screen. Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. Let me do that real quick. So the fruit of the righteous. Here it is. The fruit of the righteous. Fruit. So Jesus talked about fruit, righteous, that's right standing with God through Christ. We're justified. The fruit of the righteous is a tree. We're a tree. We're like trees, and we're a tree of life, right? We're a tree of life. A tree of life lives forever. The fruit that hangs on the tree of life, that fruit produces eternal life. Now, how do I say that? And why do I say that? Remember, I'm talking to you as a minister. All right. Christians, this goes right over their head. They go, what? What is that supposed to mean? But as a minister, you apply the word of God and you live in the word of God and you walk in the word of God. Right. So we know that this tree of life, the fruit of it, is fruit that causes eternal life. Why do I say that like that? And because of the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, there was two trees that God told not to eat, the fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life, the tree of life. And so Satan had Adam and Eve eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and their eyes were open. And they died that day. Spiritually, they died. So Satan gave them a lie. It's in our Sunday prayer letter. And then the Lord came down. God came down and took the tree of life out of the Garden of Eden and put it back into heaven. It's in heaven. And because he said, if they eat of the fruit of the tree of life, they'll live forever. Yeah. But right here in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. That's our fruit. The fruit that's in us is can be given away because the word of God is seed to the tree of life. It's seed. It's seed. You sow the seed and it produces life. And it produces life not in a giraffe, not in a cat or hamster. It produces life in mankind. It doesn't produce life in angels. It doesn't produce life in angels that have fallen, you know, those devils. You can't pray for devils to be saved. None of that stuff. So it's only, this seed is only for mankind, male and female, right? So the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, life. And he that winneth souls is wise, wise. Winneth souls is wise. So winning souls is wise. It produces wisdom. And so you want to be wise? A lot of people ask for wisdom. They want to know how to live life. Then go win the lost. Yeah. But Satan will stop you at every turn. Every time he'll stop you, he'll stop you, he'll stop you. And how does Satan stop you? He stops you by getting you sidetracked or through thoughts. He got me sidetracked. Now, here's the teaching of what happened to me at Fort Collins. I prayed here at the house, had a great class, got out the door, got to the bus stop, 7 o'clock, got on the 713 northbound for Fort Collins, about an hour and 45. It's 2 hours from my door to my corner up there in Fort Collins. Had a witness session, ministry session on the bus. Everyone on the bus, it was a packed bus. A lot of students going up to the university up there, all got a witness of Christ. It was amazing. Absolutely. We turned that church turned that bus into a church. It was really quite amazing. Spirit of God was in that bus. And then there was only like two of us that finally got off the last bus stop because everyone gets off of the university up there in Fort Collins. And when I got off the bus, the Lord quickened me to do not go by that building. They were doing construction. And I didn't hear it. It was the still, small voice was so tiny, I couldn't hear it. Why couldn't I hear the voice of the Word of God? Now, if you go to Deuteronomy, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord God, you're going to have blessings that pour out all over your life. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord God. I think that's what he says, Lord God, the voice of the Lord God, Deuteronomy 28. You want to read those first 14 verses in Deuteronomy 28 out loud. Don't read them to yourself. Declare them out loud so Satan can hear every word that you're speaking. Yes, one. Yeah, voice of the Lord thy God. Yeah. And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice. Doesn't say Bible, it says voice. Voice of who? The Lord thy God. Who is our God? Jesus Christ, the Lord thy God. The Lord of all. Hearken unto the Lord's voice. And that voice, according to Scripture, sounds like a still, small voice. Down still. It's a peace, still means peace. It's a peaceful, tranquil, confident presence of an audible voice deep in your spirit. I think that's how I'd explain it. It's pretty amazing. But all these blessings come upon somebody, right? So I did not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, my God. Thy means individual. And I went over to the building. Then the small, because I, this is all in retro, I mean, sitting on the bench for those 5 or 6 hours, 6 hours. I was trying to figure out why this happened. And so when I got to the building, because that's where the restrooms are, the bus stop, the bus station, it was under construction. They're remodeling. So the doors were closed. God knew that. I didn't know that. And then the Lord told me a second thing. Do not go over by that man. Do not go over by that man. That's exactly what the Lord said. I'm pretty sure those are the words. Do not go over by that man. The man I was looking at. I was going looking at this man who was manifesting. The devil is being manifested in this man. And he was just causing all kinds of massive. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible how he was coming. And so I got around him. I should have got around him. And then I got away from that. And then as I walked by the big bench, the Lord says, do not pick that up. He just said, do not move that bench. Because I said, I'm going to move that bench when I get back. But I went to the restroom, to the restaurant there at Silver Grill. Do not move that bench. And so that's the third time. And when I got back from the Silver Grill Cafe, I moved the bench and ripped out the bottom part of my back. And I've been in pain since 9 o'clock Monday morning. And this is Monday morning. So this is the eighth day. And it's still in pain. It's because, and now why didn't I hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God? How come I didn't live in Deuteronomy 28? It is because to hear the voice of the Lord thy God, you must be listening. Did you get that? When I'm speaking, if you're not listening, you can't hear a word I'm saying. Yeah. So how do you hear what I'm saying? You have to get around the voice. You have to get around the class. You have to turn on your microphone, I guess, or turn up the speaker. Yeah, turn up the speaker. And then how do you do that? You say, I got to turn up the speaker. I can't hear John. And so how do you do that in relation to the Spirit? You pray. When you pray, it diminishes or decreases your flesh. And it increases the awareness of your spirit. It increases your spirit. So the awareness of the voice of the Lord thy God, when he speaks, you hear it. And then it's simple to obey. I mean, if you're a person who obeys, a lot of Christians don't, but I'm one who obeys. But when that voice is so tiny and your voice is so booming, it overrides the voice of God. I was excited about being Fort Collins. I was so overly excited. I'm an excitable person. And I was excited about, I've been planning this. It's been a year since I've been to Fort Collins. Every time I've been there, it's been fantastic. I was excited. And so the Lord has instructed me that between two events, so here's one event, here's the Bible, here's my cell phone here. And so between this event and this event, see, there's two events here. There's a space. In that space, you pray. When you come out of this transition, you come out of this event, and before you get to this event, I'm just using these as props. You come out of this event, you just don't go into the next event. You come out of that event, and you pray. You commit this to God. You thank God for what he's done in your life. You give it all to God. You give all the glory to God, et cetera, et cetera. And you pray for the next event. That is what I'm begin titling a transitional prayer. Now, where's that in the Bible? The Bible says, do all things in word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the verse. Now, that's not exactly, but wherever that verse is, we do all word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus, something like that. And so the next deed that we do is this next event. So you pray. And when you pray, your spirit is, it's like when you pray, like faith rises within you. And when faith rises within you, it's like you have better ears to hear. You have better ears, spiritual ears. And you can hear that still, small voice. Right? So that's what happened. So I'm calling that transitional prayer, for lack of a better name, don't know, and that's the verse we're using, do all in the word. All right. So, amen. Let me have some water here. This is hot water. So I hope you got that teaching. It's really important. Now, it might go over your head. I've done that all my life, probably for, well, not all my life, but probably since, I don't know, probably 30 years old, 40 years I've been doing that. But why did this happen here? As you grow as a minister, well, let me say this. You grow as a minister and you get to really, you kind of figure out what's going on. Man, you're really ministering good. You got the word down. You know what to do. You know what most people's questions are. You're just really clicking with the Spirit of God. And now you begin to take your ministry for granted. You begin to kind of operate by habit and you begin to operate like, you know, I got it all figured out, God. Thank you, God. And you begin not to do what you used to do, which is pray all the time. And that's when you're getting started as a minister, you think like you're always praying, always praying, always praying. And you stop praying. And then you start making mistakes. And you start making mistakes because Satan gets in there more often. Right? And now, because you've grown to that level, you're held at a teachers in the Word of God, it says something like, if you become a teacher, you're held at a higher level of accountability than someone who is not a teacher, right? There's scripture on that. If you want to be a preacher, you want to be a minister, you want to do the service of God in the body, you're going to be held at a higher standard. It's just life. That's how life is as we know it. You know, you're just a laborer, no big deal. You become a lead on a job site, you have more responsibility. You become a subcontractor, you have more responsibility. You become a general contractor, now you have more responsibility. That's how it works. You just, when you grow in responsibility or authority, you grow in responsibility. And so your ministry can plateau. And that's, so sometimes our ministry plateaus for a little while and then the Lord wants us to grow. So that's what I'm doing. I'm always pressing to grow in the Lord. And so just because I'm pressing doesn't mean I'm growing. Because you have to press sometimes for quite a long time. And then something happens that whatever you're pressing seems to let down and you just kind of rise up. But when you rise up in more faith, you have to do some more things. So that's what happened to He's been talking to me about this for several months, and that transitional prayer, because I got hurt in Fort Collins. No, at Colorado Springs last month. It took me 3 weeks to heal. I got healed. The very next week, I get hurt again. How about that? Down in Colorado Springs, and now in Fort Collins, got hurt. Both times is because I failed to pray a different type of prayer. There's all kinds of prayers in the Bible. A lot of people say, oh, dear God, thank you for this food. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. See you later, God. And that's not the prayers I'm talking about. And so that's the value of this true study class and the value of this book. It gets you thinking about God, gets the thoughts of God in your head, gets the Word of God renewing your mind, filling your spirit, and you begin to walk by faith, not by sight. By sight would be by emotion. My emotions were running wild of excitement in Fort Collins. Well, that's walking by sight, you know, and faith. So walk by faith or by sight. Faith is something that you can't see. So faith, how do you grow faith? By the Word of God. Amen. All right. So enough of that. That's a pretty good teaching there. So when you come down here in the proof study here, we have right here called the Sunday prayer letter. Let me open this up a little bit. Right in here is our directions and how to do this book. And it says right here, write or ascribe, and then it gives you some directions. Write the word of truth for today from the Sunday prayer letter or one verse from the scriptures just prayed. So there's two types of verses that you can write. The Sunday prayer letter verses or the verse from the scriptures just prayed. All right. So let's go back to this. And so, all right, I'm going to type into the chat box here, type this in, gospel evangelistchurch.com. I separated it all out. This is where you go to get gospelevangelistchurch.com. Yeah, you go there and there's a one-page website that helps you get onto the Sunday prayer email. So what the Lord wants me to do in this class is read the Sunday prayer letter. Yeah, how about that? I haven't read the Sunday prayer. I was going to do it last night or yesterday, and I said no. So I couldn't write the Sunday prayer letter on Saturday. I was in so much pain. I just couldn't. I would sit at my desk like I'm leaning over right now trying to take the pressure off my back. Normally, I'd be sitting up a little bit more. And so Sunday, I sat down about 9:30 at my desk. And it took me 7 hours to write this letter, 7 hours. I had to get up every few minutes. I'd write two or three sentences. I'd have to get up and just relax my back. I'd sit back down, write two or three more sentences. It was so grueling, but it was a work of love. I really enjoyed writing the letter. I'd write it every time. I've written 259 letters. And so this letter here is called, I'm going to read it. So, and I'm going to encourage every one of you to get on our email list so you receive this in email. And it went out, I think I finally got it out at about 5 p.m. Sunday afternoon, 5 p.m. Sunday. Now, it's supposed to go out Sunday morning or sometimes Friday evening. But I'm the only one writing it right now. One day we'll have somebody else who will step in for me to write the letter because it has a format to it. The format does change about every year. I guess the format changes by the Holy Ghost. I don't change it. The Holy Ghost changes the format. So this is a newer format. So it's changed quite a bit of time, quite a few times over the years. Right. And the idea and the purpose of our, it says it in the instructions, why the Sunday prayer? Why do you have this? Why does our church have this letter? Most churches have letters to ask for donations. That's what most letters are from churches. They give you a little teaching and a whole page of give us money. there's none of that. In fact, there's no links to click on in our letter. And the Holy Spirit's kind of telling me, you need to put some website links in there for the website, for the calendar. Anyways, I'll do something. So this letter is simply teaching. It's simply me talking to you, friend to friend, and letting you know what your friend is doing. That's what it is. And in that, as I write, I pray for you. And then when you receive the letter, you pray for me and you pray for others who receive. It becomes a one accord. And in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, it talks about being in one place, in one accord, in prayer and supplication. In one accord. That's the key. One accord. Lots of notes make up one chord, but it doesn't sound like multiple notes. It sounds like one note. And that's what's happening in the body of Christ. There is no longer a one accord in the vast portion of the body of Christ. Everyone's talking a different talk, speaking a different speak, and everyone's going in different directions. Churches are constantly splitting, dividing, and starting new ones, all because the vast majority of the body of Christ is not in one accord. The one accord relates to the Word, not Jesus, which is the Word of God, but what He gave us, the Bible. The Bible. Authorized King James Bible. All right? Oh, man. This is... ministry is never convenient. I say that constantly. I've been saying that for decades. Ministers come up to me, new ministers come up to me and say, man, do we ever get to sleep? No, you don't get to sleep as a minister. Man, do we ever get time off? No, you don't get any time off. Ministers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't care if you go on vacation, you're a minister. You go on holiday, you're a minister. You're at home, you're a minister. You're on your Sabbath, on the Sabbath day, you're ministering. You minister all the time. And you either, in your vast majority of your ministry, is to Jesus Christ. You're a minister of the Lord, Jesus Christ. So our first ministry is to the Lord, and our second ministry is to people. And we take what the Lord has given us, and we give it to people. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. All right, so the Sunday prayer letter is titled, I was kind of waiting for people to click off. Finally, I had about three or four or five people up there all signed in. Now it's down to one. That's kind of like the story or the preaching I did up there in Fort Collins with that hour and 26 minutes. After 6 minutes, everyone clicks off. So, but it takes probably 20 minutes to get into the message, and they miss the meat of the message, except those who listen to it. But people don't have time. That's all right. So the title of our letter is, Who is Like a Refiner's Fire? Do you know? Who is like a refiner's fire? Change that out. All right. Who is like a refiner's fire comes from the Bible. It says, but who may abide the day of his coming? It's a question mark. And who shall stand when he appeareth? He is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. That's in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. All the verses in our Sunday prayer letter since January 1st all contain the word fire. There are 506 verses in the King James Bible with the word fire inside it. And we're going through every single verse, every verse. And we're going through those verses from Genesis to Revelation, but we're doing it from Genesis and Revelation and moving inward. Each day has two verses to it, right? That's Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. So it says here, greetings. It says, God bless you. And then, you know, has your name there. God bless you, my friend. You are important. Because I'm reading the letter here. You can see it on the screen. It's on my phone. I tried to put it online here so you can see it on the screen, but I can't figure that out. I mean, yesterday I tried reading all the directions. Couldn't figure it out. This morning I tried and I couldn't figure it out. So somehow or another, you can actually put it on the screen. And I was going to pull this up so you can see it on the screen, but I can't do that. So this is my email to myself just to make sure everything goes out okay. So I sent an email to different addresses, two addresses that I have. So God bless you, my friend. You are important. Always. I mean, always guard yourself from any destruction. Because that thing only comes from the accuser of the brethren. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be mindful and watchful for all the devices of Satan. This is a past warning and a current warning and a warning that will not end until the end. And that end is a very, very long way off. You might be saying right now, how far off? Well, let me add another timeline that is not readily added to many talks. And that is the 1,000-year reign of Christ after the great and terrible tribulation. Now, we must add that to that timeline another event that the Lord Jesus tells us of, namely that after the 1,000 years, Satan must be loosed a little season. Revelation 20, verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now on this season, a little is not given a time or a date or a year. However, Satan shall be loosed, and there are given events that tell us the ending of Satan's reign, fully and totally from our lives. But that too is after a most horrible event that is detailed a little bit in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. I'm not going to go any further on that. You read verse chapter 20 there. Here's what I'm referring to. Each day, we as believers must be vigilant in not allowing imaginations to come to us that we recognize as devices from Satan. Being not ignorant of the devil and his devices will go a long way to helping us get through this life and make it to the end. Because as many of us know, there is a rise of things that are not healthy for mankind, believer and unbeliever. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Genesis 3:4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The devil lied. Do you see the lie? Do you believe the father of lies has stopped? John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Jeremiah 18:11, now, therefore, go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Boulder and all the places where you are sitting, my friend, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. Jeremiah 18:12 says, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. My friend, as we all can see here, there is much to talk about when it comes to devices, to imaginations, to our own refusal to see or understand the enemy. However, by being in Christ and full of the Holy Ghost, we, the believers, are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's a fact. And that, my friend, is good news. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And look at this, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. This lets us know some very important information here, even though at first glance, this seems simple to understand. But be aware, this is easily done by some believers, even me. Yeah. When I get too excited about what is going on, I can easily quench the Holy Spirit in me and thus not be able to hear him speak. That is what happened in Fort Collins, Colorado, in the first hour of my arrival to preach and minister all week. Now, tell me that you are above this, and this doesn't apply to you because you know it all. Watch out. Trouble may not be far away. This is what we do here in these two or three verses. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Jeremiah 44:10. They are not humbled, even unto this day, neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes, that I set before you and before your fathers. Please understand that as I write this on this Sunday afternoon, rather than yesterday, Saturday, when I was scheduled to write, I could not because of the severe pain in my lower back, all because I was overrun by excitement and thus unable to hear and thus obey the voice of the Lord God in my life. I got hurt. This pain is keeping me from praying very much or even thanking. It's something that I've never had in my life. Yes, I've had back challenges due to trucking all my life, but this is not that. This is something completely different. And I see this as from the enemy. And this combines again with what happened in Colorado Springs last month. I got hurt there also. Once again, the same thing that happened in Fort Collins. Do we ever learn? Yes, we learn, and then we overcome, and then the devil ups his game, and we must learn even more. Life as a Christian is not a rut nor a stagnant lifestyle. You either continue in Christ or you grow weary in well-doing and shrink back, and thus maybe fall away. Be vigilant, my dear friend. I'm not kidding. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us entrance to the Holy of Holies, that we may reason together with the Father and come to understand the Spirit of God. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us comfort and for giving us the understanding of the Lord's commandments and the power to walk in the truth and in faith rather than something else that would easily destroy us. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Scrolling down through the letter here, we have another section who draws out the diagram. I pray that you get the Sunday prayer letter. It's really good. It'll really touch you. It'll really wake you up. It goes in conjunction with our Sunday prayer letter. Our true study. The true study and the Sunday prayer letter are one unit, one piece. And I don't put too much pressure on that, but please pay attention to that. All right. And then in the letter, I have seven parts, and each part is for each day. And I have the verses lined out. I'm going to read the verses here, but I'm not going to actually read the verse. I'm just going to give you the address or the name of that verse. And the names are Leviticus 21:6, coupled with Matthew 5:22. That's on Sunday. Then below in the letter, you'll see some what I'm doing, what cities I'm supposed to be in, and where I'm going to be preaching that day. So some information on each day. As I said early in the class, my life is scheduled in the Lord. Monday is Leviticus 21:9, coupled with Matthew 3:12. Tuesday is Leviticus 21:21, coupled with Matthew 3:11. Wednesday is Leviticus 22:22, coupled with Matthew 3:10. Thursday is Leviticus 22:27, coupled with Malachi 3:2, which is the title of our letter here. Then on Friday, we use verse name Genesis 8:1, and that is remember. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us remember what we learned this week. Saturday, we use John 14:26 to bring back to our remembrance. Friday and Saturday is a relationship we build with the Holy Ghost, because John the Baptist says he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we maintain our relationship, our communion with the Holy Ghost on Friday and Saturday in this schedule. For example, I'm just lining out something that's unique and different. Then below the scriptures and below that portion of the Sunday prayer letter is the portion called remembrance. And I'll read it here. Listen, if by now, after reading this week's scriptures, before I wrote this, I read every verse, got it all ready to go so I can preach from it, because that's the verses I would preach from. If I was on the street today, I would be preaching from these two verses on Monday. That's the verses I preach from. And on Tuesday, I'll preach on the verses that are in the Sunday prayer letter. So all my sermons that you hear on YouTube all come from the Sunday prayer letter, every one of them. It's not something, well, what should I preach? And I'll occasionally, and sometimes, oftentimes, the Holy Ghost will give me something else to preach on because of the people who will be listening to that sermon or the people nearby me. Okay, so I'm not stuck in a rut. I'm not stuck in an agenda. I'm stuck in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost has me do this, but occasionally he'll add something to it, and amen? All right, so I just finished reading those scriptures, and this is what came to me. Listen, if by now, after reading this week's scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, and you don't sense the fear of God upon you, then you might want to go back and look at each verse. The first in the old and the corresponding verse in the new. There is something of amazing importance happening in me as I've been going through each week's scriptures. And the biggest thing that continued to stand out, for me at least, is the validation of the word of truth, and that is the King James Bible. I mean, there is no way that man could have written this book. And in no way could man rewrite the word of God into what the modern Christian is now doing, now reading. Yeah, Satan did it. These corrupt, counterfeit Bibles are taking the body of Christ down. That's right. The massive amount of continual confusion is bringing into the body so much frustration and doubt of the truth of the word of God that some believers, not in the Bible, so much frustration and doubt of the truth of the word of God that some believers, not in the Bible, the Holy Bible, God's word, the word of truth. I'm not sure how that goes. I'm sorry, I'm not much of an English speaker, so that doesn't sound right. Anyways, kind of have to figure it out sometimes and correct some of my mistakes. All right, next paragraph. When this happens in a large worldwide scale, then the deception of Satan is near. This might be one more reason why the Holy Ghost has directed this certain church, Gospel Evangelist Church at Boulder in Colorado, to conduct a full one-year study on the word fire, F-I-R-E, fire. Because of what this is producing in me, at least, is total and full commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, this is not exact, because to me, there is more going on inside of me than is indescribable at this time. My daily hope is that the Holy Ghost will provide understanding and wisdom so that I can give away all that he has taught me in the Word of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I was so taken back and shocked that I had to stop reading the scriptures and type my thoughts out here in this letter. But as I type, I am fully aware that less than half the people who receive these Sunday prayer letters actually open them up. And then there are probably less who read it. And then there are even fewer that go to the Bible and look up the verses here in the letter. To me, this is sad, because why? The cares of this world overtake so many, my heart breaks. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you truly have given all so that we may receive all. And by your Spirit, we are able to receive. That is, if we can lay aside the cares of this world. Oh Lord, each of us need you and need your Holy Spirit to give us the power to resist the deceiver from what he is attempting, he's tempting us with. Help us to overcome and teach us how to overcome. And teach us how to live a victorious and holy life unto our God. We love you, Jesus. Amen. And my letter is signed Victory, with my initials below that, JC for John Shuck. Below my initials are three or four scriptures. Psalm 98:1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. Revelation 5:15-2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Amen and amen. This is Sunday prayer letter number 259, written fresh this afternoon, Sunday, April 28th. All right. Anyways, written by Preacher John Shuck, street preacher, founding pastor of Gospel Evangelist Church. It's not what you think it is. God bless you. I love you very much. Take care. That's the Sunday prayer letter. Let's pray real quick. Lord, I thank you that we can come to class. We can do what you want us to do. And you wanted us to read the Sunday prayer letter on class. And I thank you, Lord, that you've also instructed me that every Monday morning, every Monday class for a while, we'll read the Sunday prayer letter so that everyone will be able to receive what you've given me. Because you've asked me, Lord, to pray that I can be open and willing and obedient to having you help me to pour out of my heart everything that you've taught me all these 50 years of serving you and walking in the Word and being your servant for all these decades. Because when I leave here, Lord, I don't want to bring anything with me. I want to leave it all here in the hearts and minds of everyone that you've drawn to me. Because I want to get a fresh filling of your Spirit when I arrive in heaven. I want a fresh filling, Lord. What a fresh filling. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Jesus. Amen. 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 I hope you love Jesus. I mean, I hope with all my heart that you love Jesus more than you love your life. That you more than you love your spouse, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your dad, your grandparents. You don't love Jesus more than all the people in your life. You may not be fit for the kingdom of God. The reason I say that is that because the Bible is very clear. If you don't love Jesus, you will not keep his commandments. You won't keep the word of God. Which means you may be one of those branches that will be thrown into the fire. That's a very tough, hard teaching that many refuse. Let me tell you, we must endure. We must not grow weary in well-doing. Amen? Let's continue to pray and worship God throughout the day. See you tomorrow morning. Love you.